My guest at this time is Kansas Republican Congressman Mike Pompeo, represents the Sunflower State's 4th Congressional District. He joins us now to talk about the tenor of the debate in Congress over whether to cut spending, how much to cut spending, and where some of the most effective spending cuts might be able to happen. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Greg.
Well, both parties, of course, claim to be fiscally responsible. They obviously have different priorities and different things that you want to get passed. One of the biggest issues we saw this week was not so much spending cuts. It was about sequestration and Republicans trying to roll back where that sequestration cut will come from, because you see it as such major cuts to our national security budget. What do you want to do instead with those cuts that were mandated by the failure of the supercommittee?
We did this week in the House of Representatives pass legislation that reshuffles but doesn't give up a single ounce of the spending reduction we achieved last summer. And that has been absolutely critical to me. We worked hard to get them. They weren't nearly enough, but they were a good start. But we recognize that the first priority for the federal government is making sure that every American is safe. And the proposals would have had an enormous effect by decreasing the size of the Department of Defense very rapidly and to a too great a degree. So we tried to realign them, and we did that by going back and trying to look at some of the mandatory spending, things that we haven't been able to get to in this Congress, off of the discretionary side, over to mandatory spending, and just take them back and get rid of some of the fraud and waste and abuse, take them back to levels from just a year ago. And so we have reshuffled it. The Democrats, of course, have a different view. They'd rather just raise your taxes.
So the amount of money that can be saved by shuffling a lot of the sequestration money to increases in spending from last year can amount to $1 trillion?
Well, this is only a one year proposal, so it's just
okay.
A piece of legislation for what will be FY 2013. This is associated with the FY 2013 budgeting process. So this is just 1 year's worth of the savings that we need to achieve. One of the things, Greg, I've seen in my 16 months is when something gets put in place, it is so hard to undo, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing Republicans look at some of the programs that have been entrenched for a long time and blanch when it comes time to do what America needs us to do on spending. But I'm confident there's enough of us who came to Washington, D.C. in November of 2010, and frankly, some folks who came before who are serious about this and won't let this spending addiction take us to the places that we see Europe and other parts of the world in today.
Congressman, you are also pushing a more specific way of chiseling away at excessive spending here in Washington. You tried to include this as an amendment to the recent bill that did not actually succeed in being attached to the bill, but you also have a standalone measure to end what's known as the Economic Development Administration. Explain to our listeners what that is and why you think it's time for it to go.
Well, I'd never heard of it when I came to Washington, D.C. I suspect you hadn't heard of it before today either.
Right.
And your listeners have likely not heard of it. It's an agency that spends somewhere between $200 and $500 million a year in any given year and brings money to Washington, D.C. and redistributes it all across the country to small local projects in bite-sized chunks. By the way, after having Washington, D.C. having taken 20% of the money for administration and overhead and all of the things that bureaucrats will consume here in Washington. It's a program that's been around since 1965. And it funds projects that just make no sense for the federal government to be involved in. It provided a grant to redo a culinary amphitheater. It gave $2 million to the Harry Reid Technology Park in Nevada. The list goes on. And so I learned about it when there was a hearing where the administrator of the EDA came and spoke at the hearing that I was listening in on, and learned more about the agency and realized this is a simple thing to do. In Washington, D.C., We haven't gotten rid of an agency of this size for over 35 years. Every now and again, we shrink how much something goes, but we just don't make things go away. So I've spent the last year trying to make it happen, and I didn't get it done this time, but I got a lot further along the way. I had 129 fellow soldiers line up to help me get rid of the agency, and I'll keep plugging.
And according to your statistics, if you were able to repeal the Economic Development Administration, that would save taxpayers $219 million in the coming year and about $3 billion over the next 10 years. A lot of people would admit, certainly, that that's huge money. However, our annual deficit is about $1.3 trillion, I believe. So where else would you like to aim?
This is certainly a drop in the bucket, getting rid of the EDA. I'll concede that. And look how hard it is even just to do that. The place we have to go is something that approaches the magnitude and scope of what we passed in the House as part of the Ryan-Wyden budget plan that we passed. You have to reform Medicare. You must reform Social Security. You have to tackle the growth and increase in cost in Medicaid to really begin to get the American fiscal house back in order. You got to take on those three programs. You have to reform them. Got to make sure that they're around. My father's 83, and he receives a Social Security check and is a Medicare beneficiary, and that's wonderful. We've got to make sure that it's around for my son, who's now 21, and we can do it. And we in the House of Representatives have now voted twice on a plan that would reform Medicare in a way that would put America back on a path to prosperity. And I'm confident that over time the American people will demand that we do that.
Congressman, obviously that was one of the issues that helped Republicans regain the majority in 2010, your election included. There's obviously the battle of wills that you've described over even much smaller issues than some of our massive entitlement programs and so forth. And so there's clearly different ideologies. When you talk to folks back home, how big of an issue is this for them?
It's an enormous issue. When I come back to Kansas, I'm back in Kansas. And when I come back to Kansas, people have a tremendous amount of anxiety. They're facing an economy where their kids are getting out of high school or college and can't find work. They themselves or their family members are working 35 hours instead of 55 hours. We're the air capital of the world. We build the airplanes for the entire country. Those jobs are not coming back. They're staring at a tax increase come January 1st, where every American business will pay higher tax rates come January 1st if we don't tackle this problem. And if we continue to do what the president proposes in his budget, which is to spend $1 trillion a year more than the federal government takes in, we're a nation that will end up in a place where America's never been before. And I, for one, don't think anybody here in Kansas wants to do that to the next generation. I hear it all the time.
Pretty clear at this point, sir, is our exit question that Governor Romney will be the Republican nominee. Do you think he's as committed to this idea as you are?
I do. I am confident that he has taken this task on so that his kids and his grandkids can live in the same kind of America that gave him all the amazing opportunities that he's had in his life. And if they work hard and keep their faith and do all the right things, that this America will give them all the opportunity and blessings he's had. And I'm convinced he'll do it. I'm confident that if we work hard, we'll get control of the Senate as well. And then the task that the American people demand will be upon us, and I pray that we execute it vigorously.
Well, we'll certainly be following the debate as it plays out in the halls of Congress and on the campaign trail. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. You have a wonderful day.
Kansas Republican Congressman Mike Pompeo represents his state's 4th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.